are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Well, here we are again. Welcome to Serious Growth Podcast. Oh, God. Before I start, I probably should tell you that I'm in a really, really good mood. And I'm going to leave it at that. I was thinking today, I think about people sometimes. Today I thought about Vince Gironda. I was one of the few lucky ones that at this point, reflecting back, it was an honor, and it was an honor to not only meet him, but a bigger honor to train in his gym. It's an experience from, and I've talked about it a little bit in some of the shows, from day one, that was truly, I just keep thinking about him. You know, he's a mentor of mine, but when I first met him, I just sure as hell didn't think that. And I just thought about a phone call that I had with Vince. And mind you, this phone call that I had with Vince is not the first time that I met him, but it was, I had sort of gotten to know Vince. For those of you who knew Vince, he was hard to know. He was the most cantankerous person that I had ever met. I mean, I tried to do a video with him and couldn't get the fucking thing done. He was too damn difficult. And you know what? I wish I would have gotten it done, but I appreciate the fact that he was so damn difficult, because it represents a certain thing about him, which we'll talk about. But in one of the phone calls, when I called Vince, I said, "Hey, Vince, how you doing?" Like I said, I knew this guy for a little bit. And out of the blue, he just said, "You don't give a fuck how I'm doing. Why don't you just get right to your point? And what do you want to talk about?" I got to tell you something. It floored me to the point where the only thing that I could do to respond to him was, I said, "Vince, I'm going to hang up on you and I'll call back." I did. And I called back and he answered. I went right to my point, that and the reason that I was wanted to call and talk to him about. And you know what? He was right. He was absolutely accurate, but that's just kind of the way we talk with people. But he was absolutely right. I called him not really to know how he was doing, but I wanted to talk to him about something that I probably wanted. Maybe it was because I don't remember now. Maybe it was because I was trying to get him to do a video with me. But point is, yeah, I wanted something. God damn it, he was on me. But, oh man, did I learn shit from him. And I want to tell you something. Vince was probably one of the angriest men in bodybuilding. And I want to tell Vince, if you can hear me right now, I am too. And you know what? My goal is to be angrier than you were. And I think I'm doing a pretty damn good job. Increasingly, I get more pissed off each day, but I'm overall in a good mood. So I'm in a good mood for this segment. But so that phone call, you know, Vince, when I was in pretty good shape, but Vince was just brutally honest when he talked to you. He called me, and I'm saying that he called me a fat fuck, and I wasn't the only one he called a fat fuck. He called most people a fat fuck that were in the sport of bodybuilding. And I'd like to, you know, say that this segment's going to be, I have to get this shit off my chest before I explode. But Vince, I mean, I wasn't a fat fuck, but as it related to bodybuilding, yeah, I was a fat fuck. I mean, if a fat fuck is 10% body fat, yeah, I was a fat fuck. That's how hard and how high of accountability that Vince had. And I think that is the most impressing thing that I remember, and I respect that. You know, there's a double-edged sword when you expect and hold people to a high level of accountability. But you must understand, this wouldn't mean anything if Vince didn't hold himself to that standard, and he did. That's what I love about him. That's what I love about somebody who's in, you know, I don't care what kind of walk of life that you're in, what kind of job that you do. I respect that. it stands out. The minute I start talking with somebody, I point it out to myself. I see it. I feel it. I connect with that person because that's who I am. And this shit drives you crazy. So as it relates to, because on this, you know, on this podcast, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm getting shit off my chest. And I know sometimes it may seem like I'm a bit harsh, and I am. For the people that are true serious growthers, I know that you're not going to take the things that I say personal because you have the same mindset as I do. We hold ourselves to a level of accountability that surpasses most people. So I'm operating from that when I'm talking on this podcast. It's that. And but I got to tell you something. When you hold yourself accountable to the nth degree, like the true serious growther does, mediocrity drives you fucking insane. It'll make you go crazy. And it did Vince. That's why he was so fucking mad all the time, is because he stood for something. He stood for perfection. Was he the biggest bodybuilder? No. That's not the point. He stood for perfection to the nth degree. No excuses, no matter what, unless you're dead or you have an arm that's hanging off the bone. No excuses. That's extreme. I get that. No, you know, most people can't relate to that, nor should they, probably, because it definitely isn't for every group of people. So for you people that are, you know, if you feel like I'm talking a little bit too direct, that's your problem. The serious growthers I know will appreciate it. They might not like it. I didn't like it when Vince was that direct to me, but I appreciated where he was coming from. And that's kind of where I'm coming from as a serious growther. And serious growther, it really is specific and applies to people that are serious about putting on muscle mass, hence the growth. But you can be serious about, you know, different levels of training. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying either you're a serious growther or you're not. And if you're not, you're a piece of shit. I'm not saying that. As it relates to serious growther, yes, I'm saying that. And, you know, talking about level of mediocrity, I see it every day. To some degree, I'm seeing it. Passes by my eyes every single day. And I'm getting better at it. But I bite my fucking tongue. I grit my jaw. I got to take a walk or do something to release fucking shit that I see. And you know what fat is? Most of you do. You have your own version and definition of fat. You know what my definition of fat is? Fat is a consequence of you fucking around training. That's what I call it. I just came up with that. I don't know if there's no original thought, I'm told, but by golly, I bet you that one is. Fuck around training. I see fuck around training all around me. All around me to some degree. It fucking makes me crazy. This is as it relates to the three training components. Resistance training, cardiovascular conditioning, and nutrition. Okay? All I see around me is fuck around training. They're fucking around in there. You know, it's I don't know what to do about it, to be honest with you. Maybe you guys could call me and give me some fucking, like be my shrink or something. Aside from doing walks with my dog and, you know, looking the other way, that shit keeps coming back and just right fucking in front of me. What am I supposed to do with that shit? Should I change my level, my standards? Should I bring it down to shit level or something? I don't know. I can't. Serious growthers understand this. I can't even get off cardio if like there's only 5 seconds left. How the fuck am I supposed to put up with fuck around training? It's a tone. It's a feel. It's like, oh, God damn. It's coming in and fucking around and training. It's like the training itself is actually a secondary thought, an idea. I don't know. I've sometimes called it in a past romper room training, but I'm afraid if I do that, I'm insulting the fuck out of romper rooms. Seriously. I've seen better intensity in a fucking morgue. When I saw my dad laid out dead, I went and visited him. He had more fucking life than some of the goddamn workouts that I have to be around. What am I supposed to do with that? I mean, I get some of that actually, if I'm really thinking about this now, some of that stuff that I'm seeing, that mediocrity, what I do is I do channel it into my workouts. So I, you know, that's what I should have done. I should have looked on the fucking bright side of things, right? So here's the bright side of fuck around training. It pisses me off to no end, but instead of me going out and accidentally killing someone, or at least maiming them, maybe hurting them a little bit, I take that shit, that anger, that fucking, that hatred, that burning fucking rage of heat, and I go and I put it into my training. So you know what, all you fuck around trainers, I guess I should say thank you very much for making my workout fantastic. All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
That was my get it off my chest before I explode, and my little story about the one and only Vince Gironda. So maybe I can just lighten things up a little bit now, okay? For those of you who think that's too negative, and first of all, you people that are thinking that this is too harsh and too negative, go in your fucking mirror and look at yourself. Stare at yourself hard. Don't be afraid to look at yourself. Some people can't even face themselves in the mirror. But I want you, the ones that are, this is like too much for you, go look at yourself in the mirror. Look hard, really hard. Do you see yourself? Okay, you're the problem. Now go away. Leave me alone. I feel better now. A little bit lighter. Now I can do this other part of the segment. And that segment's going to be, how do you know if you're in the training zone? In Serious Growth, we talked about the training zone. It's otherwise known as a sweet spot in training, which, believe it or not, some people just avoid the sweet spot like the plague, because it just so happens that sweet spot is where all the results are made in your program. It's a little bit different than, you know, I've said before, there's that plateaus are a necessary evil. So this is a little bit different than that. And the sweet spot, most people, what happens when they go into the gym overall, because, you know, the problem that people have overall in their training is that they're very inconsistent. They're temporarily consistent. That's the general rule of thumb for most people. And I will say, to be fair, when you're doing something like a Serious Growth type of workout, in other words, something that's very difficult to achieve, you just can't be consistent from day one. That's for damn sure. You know, repetition is the mother of skill. We talked about all these things. Discipline is it's the number one thing, because it's connected to a mindset. So I'm not saying that it's easy, but what I'm saying is a fact. It's accurate. So what happens with a lot of people is they either undertrain or they overtrain throughout a training regimen, whether it be 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12, whatever it is, doesn't matter. And so you have people that are under training, meaning it's just, think about this. I've used this as a metaphor before. Is think about driving on a road where there's two lines, and obviously you have to stay within the line when you're driving a car, otherwise you're gonna get in an accident. Okay, same way with training. If you don't stay inside those lines, you're gonna have an accident, and the accident in this case is or a mishap. In this case, as it relates to the sweet spot of the training zone, the optimum. I think we call it the optimum training zone. That's what it was called. Is if you undertrain, that's a mishap. And in this case, the mishap is that you're not getting results. You're wasting your time. You're not getting results. So what happens, the knee-jerk response for people like that is they realize that at some point, and then they start ramping up their training. And then they go the other way. They go, so they, you know, if they've out here in the weeds in their little mishap of under training, and they climb back in and drive back in and find that road, and they're inside that those lines, now they start training like someone that's on fire, and they're now training very difficult. And the next thing you know, because it's hard, it's really hard to train in extremes for very long, to be honest with you. I don't care how tough you are, that's reality. The difference is if you've got a bulletproof, calloused mind, discipline and all that, then you can tolerate it longer, but you can't withstand it. You're going to end up going out the other side of that line, which is now flipping your car. It's a big mishap. You're overtrained. You pulled the muscle. Something's going to happen, because you know what? Our body is smarter than we are. We just don't know that. And we sometimes, and a lot of times, most of us don't even trust it. We don't trust our gut feeling, our intuition. It's scary because so much of it is counterintuitive to what you think it should be or do. So you end up getting, you know, tumble, you know, go out the other side of that overtraining massive accident, where maybe you're going to be laid off because of injury, you know. So how do you know when you're in that training zone, and how do you stay there? It's impossible to, I mean, in our training courses, we gave a model, a strategy for keeping you, potentially creating a situation that kept you inside that optimum training zone. It's based on repetitions. It's based on the amount of weight that you're lifting. So you have that combination of lifting with heavier weights to a degree. So you don't go out the sides of the those lines. So there's the repetition, there's rest periods. These are all factors and variables. There's lifting lighter weight for a period of time, and then there's lifting heavier weight for a period of time throughout a training regimen, essentially forever. I think those of you who are really into training to this degree, the serious growthers degree, you know that there's no finish line unless you quit. Okay. But as long as you're in it, and I mean, to this day, I don't compete anymore. Don't want to, but I'm still in it. There's no finish line. It keeps going on and on, and you keep adapting, blah, blah, blah. So we tried to lay out a strategy and a template that you could use based on, you know, to a large degree, it's based on physiology, because we understand how the physiology responds. We know that because people at Serious Growth, our Serious Growthers are people that know stuff to the nth degree. We're not just saying shit. I mean, you know, when I first came out in the industry, we said stuff that was just so counter popular in the industry, and boy, did that piss people off. But what a lot of people don't know, I mean, they just get pissed off, you know, just because they really don't know the level of information that we have and that we had back in those days. And I can tell you right now, even to this day, because we're very enthusiastic about always learning more, constantly, no finish line. So we were, you know, saying some of the things that we did as it related to training. It wasn't just, you know, look, it had a shitload of of being in the trenches and trying everything. And this is, I'm getting to a point here. And it wasn't just, you know, saying after, you know, we did maybe a few workouts that this is where the training zone was. It wasn't that. And I guess where I'm leading into this is that it's a process. Everything is a process. It's a long ass process. Like anything that is extraordinary or that's hard to attain, or that you want something that's, you know, it could be maybe a beautiful house. There's a whole process to getting all that. There's always a process. So, mind you, we had hours and hours of in the trenches training. I remember my partner in crime still is. Dr. Russ Hornrein, we developed this thing together. Man, I got to tell you something. We lived in our labs, the gym. You know what? We didn't just do this for a full-time living. We had other things that we were doing. This was, you know, until we got this thing off the ground that became something for us. We were doing this on off hours. You know, when you have perfect willingness, nothing can stop you. Fuck that. It didn't stop. Anyway, babbling. I do that. I like hearing my voice. If you don't like that, leave. So we created this optimum training zone based on those variables and factors. But here's what you have to understand. Once you know that, and when you actually start implementing and learning where your optimum training zone is, because it's not black and white, it's gray, like most things, gray. What you have to do then is realize that if you're training, for example, for 8 weeks, and you're trying to figure out where you're at, you have to put in that 8 weeks of time, and you have to document every single thing. Ideally, that's what you have to do. How you felt that day, the exercises that you did, the length of time it took you to complete the training session, what you ate, how much cardio you did. You get where I'm going with this? You have to do that every single day for 8 weeks. There's the process. Oh, wait, we're not done yet. And now you got to start another training block. Let's just call that a training block. Your next 8 weeks, if that's the case. It could be 8 weeks. It could be 12 weeks. So you can really understand and get and make a really good call, and, you know, to make sure that your information is really based on something that has a foundation to it, at least from the physical and the, you know, the three components: weight training, cardio, nutrition. See, it all revolves around that. And now, okay, those first 8 weeks or whatever block that you first did, very good. If you're that person that thinks that they're going to remember, I was that person. I thought, oh, I can remember what I'm doing. No, I got that lesson taught to me by Tom Platz. And he was right. He's the one that made me start doing shit to the nth degree. He's like a Vince Gironda. You see, the people that I'm referring to are all kind of the same. We're all in that same pot, if you will. I hate that, if you will, comment or wordings. But we're all in that same pot. We think the same way. We get to a result the same way. And the more that you can do this and have something now to reflect back to, now you can take your next 8 weeks because you can document. Okay, you know, one thing that how you can tell if you're not in the training zone as it relates to overtraining, and if you're pushing your body too hard, is the first thing in the morning before you get out of bed, take your heart rate. Before you sit up, I mean, take your heart rate while you're laying down and see what your heart rate is. If your heart rate is elevated, I would say that the average person's heart rate is about 60 when you first wake up. If you're an athlete, I got my heart rate down as low as 40 when I was competing, because the body fat gets really low. You're really in good shape at that point. Athletes are like that. It's not uncommon. But the general person, I would say 60, 65 maybe. So if your heart rate is elevated, not just one day when you wake up, but if it's like elevated maybe 3 or 4 days in a row, like 80 or 90, there's a signal right there. That's an indication that there might be a level of overtraining. So these are all the things that you need to pick up on when you're a serious growther, when you have this mentality to really find out how to start dialing in on your program. And then it starts over again. You see, there's no finish line. You start over again. The same thing happens when you're competing. You compete, you find out what you did wrong. You know, you look back, and then you move forward. And that's the way it always is. There's a reason for looking back. There's really not a reason to obsessing and looking back. Give it its due. Find out what you can learn from what you just did in your first block of training. Okay. And then you have to concoct a different strategy or to make me just small adjustments in your next training block and document that just like you did in the first one. Do you see how much time it takes, how much attention to detail that it takes to at some point create a serious growth body? A body that gets to that level. Look, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat and get to a result. Obviously, in the Serious Growth training courses did that. They put on, muscle mass that was insane for a lot of people. But, you know, in order to get to that point, you see the sort of the moral of the story is there's a process. And it's not just something that you half-ass. You got to take and every single day put energy into that. That's just one thing in your day. What about life? What about if you're married and you got kids? You see how difficult? All of a sudden that just makes stuff just a lot more difficult to complete. So, again, it's a process. You have to do... You know, these blocks of training, it's always, you'll always get better if you want to. So just because you've done maybe 3 training blocks, maybe you've done 6 months or a year, doesn't matter. You can always get better. And if you don't have that mindset as it relates to being a serious growther or someone who is reaching a level that is so difficult to achieve that it's almost impossible, if you don't take this process by which I'm saying, then you're not going to reach your full athletic potential. And I say that for all athletes, you will not. Just know that. And just know that it takes time to learn how to be that athlete that's got a bulletproof mindset to the point where your mindset is out a double-edged sword and can work for or against you. It's a scary place to be in some ways. And I think for those of you and those of us who have been out there long enough, we know that Pletch used a metaphor one time coming into a bodybuilding show. He says, think of coming into a bodybuilding show like a plane smoothly, or making a smooth landing. And yet so many of us, as it related to coming into shows, because we kept wanting to tweak it a little bit more, we crash land into the show. This is the same thing. We're talking about the optimum training zone, but you're going to make mistakes. That's normal. I guess that's the other side of what I'm saying. And you can't be afraid to make that mistake, but you also can't be afraid or shy about putting the time into it. And I'm going to leave you with that. Hopefully I ended on a positive note. I feel like I did. And I still think I'm in a good mood. Anyway, listen, for those of you out there that have any questions, we're getting more and more all the time. It's great. I love to hear and see your progress, as well as listening to what some of your concerns are. Please don't stop. That'll keep me a bit sane. I like to solve problems. Until next time.
Go get serious, bro. Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.